You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 15 October, and we are going to the World Cup. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters, Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Chantal Marks, F&B Wealth and Investments. Lots to touch on. CMH came out with big news after market close, 91 ORM. And if we have a minute, we'll look back at Boxer. Karoo Q2 results, they really are continuing that momentum that they saw last year and in the first quarter of this year. And then we're chatting with Dwayne Cable. He's head of quality at 91. Safe portfolio. I mean, your bonds that at one point were giving you sort of equity returns, that just got riskier. Where do you get those yields? This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. JSC bosses urge investors to back small and mid-cap firms. South Africa needs more speculative, open-minded investors to help power those engines of growth. Business Day, Moody's sees SA growth rising to 1.6% in 2026, but warns more is needed to cut debt. Morning markets, the US was red, S&P down 0.2%, NASDAQ off 0.7%, both of those well off the lows. The East is mostly green. We've got Sydney 0.05% higher, Tokyo off 1.2%, but Hong Kong up 1.3% and Tencent just over 0.5% higher. Commodities are mixed, but gold futures is $4,200. Brent weaker, $6,209. Platinum weaker, $1,680. Palladium higher at $1,597. The Rand is $1,733. Bitcoin, $112,200. And top 40 opening call, 750 points to the green, or 0.75% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Chantal, let's quickly start with that CMH. We've seen vehicle sales, frankly, a little bit surprisingly, perhaps, coming through strong this year. September was literally a decade high for the numbers. A lot of that, of course, Chinese, Indian, and Suzuki. CMH numbers, really strong. Revenue, nice. HEPS up 22-odd%. It is off base because, of course, corresponding period was the election last year. But the big news, perhaps, is they are planning to buy back 15% of their shares in a repurchase offer. This is a biggie.
It's very interesting that they've made that decision, because we have seen a lot of companies buy back shares in the South African context, because especially these smaller companies are quite cheap, right? So it makes sense for them to buy back their own shares. And I think this definitely shows us that management think the company is cheap. Buybacks versus dividends, I think from an investor and individual investor perspective, we would also like buybacks. It's more tax efficient. But what I found really interesting is that the CEO, his investment holding company, still holds about 35% of the shares in issue. And it's not more efficient for an investment holding company to buy back shares. So that means they really think the share is cheap. I think it's interesting. They've obviously got a lot of cash that they're not going to use. I think momentum is in their favor. I think it's an exciting time for CMH.
And interestingly, and I often say, you know what, when you get to be big and you make lots of money, the urge is to go and do an acquisition. CMH is like, no, let's stick to our knitting. Let's sell cars. Let's do our car lease business and not go and make some acquisition. Just give the money back to shareholders.
Yeah, and they, it's not like they're not doing anything or not being innovative. I think that they were one of the first movers when it came to really getting a base in terms of those new Chinese models. They say it now constitutes 50% of their new vehicle sales.
Yeah.
And CMH, I mean, they were basically Nissan, Ford, Volvo a few years ago. So they are innovating, but within a space that they know and that they're comfortable with. And I think that that's probably the best strategy strategy. And I like the fact that they're giving money back to shareholders. I think that that's probably the best allocation of capital right now, considering how cheap the share is.
Let's shift to 91. They came. It was just an assets under management for end of September, 152 billion, that's pounds. June was 140 billion. September last year, 127 billion. There are two levers here. One is a market moving higher that lifts ORM'd assets just because, well, you've got more. But of course, they earn revenue off the assets under management. So it bottom line drops down to revenue without a corresponding increase in costs.
Yes, absolutely. I think what also helped them in this specific period was the integration of Sanlam Investment Management's offshore business. So that helped. And then what we've also seen more recently is that the pace of outflows from the traditional investment management industry has really slowed over the last few reporting periods. Now, we don't know if that is the case now. We're just kind of guesstimating. We'll have to look at full results before we'll be able to confirm that. But positive signs, I think that this was a strong little one-line update and gives us, encourages investors that we would have seen an improvement in trends at the half-year mark.
Yeah. A quick last question. Looking back in time, we had Boxer earlier in the week. You and I chatted a lot ahead of the listing. It's been a very successful listing for Pick and Pay, for Boxer, for shareholders. Good revenue growth, nice operating margins, 4.1%. HEPS is messy, but they really are doing well, and the share price is reflecting a good set of numbers.
Absolutely. The company is doing exactly what they said they were going to do. Mm-hmm. I think importantly, Pick and Pay is also doing exactly what it said it was going to do. So I think the combination of the capital raise, the unbundling and separate listing, and good continued operational momentum in Boxer and a steady recovery in Pick and Pay, investors, I think, will be very happy right now.
Absolutely. Well, it has been, to your point, it has been a successful round, and it could have gone wrong, but it certainly did not. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments, appreciate the early morning time. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the Stanlib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Zach Callisto, CEO of Karooooo. Q2 results were out. Stock, of course, listed both locally and NASDAQ, so quarterly results coming through. Zach, another good set of numbers. When we chatted 3 months ago for Q1, I suppose it would have been 6 months ago for financial year 2025, there was obvious momentum in the business, and that continues as, you know, subscription revenue is an example, up 20%, record 1.182 billion rand. The momentum is there, and the business is operating strong.
Thank you very much for having me on the call. Good morning. Now, so what we've been able to do a year ago, we were growing at 15%. We're now at 20%. And we certainly are putting the efforts to continue to accelerate our growth.
Is some of that, we've chatted over the time where you add salespeople, you add consultants into the mix, and it takes a bit of time to get them up to speed, but the extra staffing in that position ultimately generates extra revenue and extra customers.
It's all really about adding the ability to distribute and recruiting and training and being conscious that there's always room for improvement.
I take your point on that. A number which was in the results out this morning, and I hadn't seen it before. You talk around lifetime value to customer acquisition cost. And essentially, the lifetime value is around 9 times what the customer acquisition cost is. Customers remain very profitable for Karooooo once you've got that acquisition, once you've acquired them.
Yeah, the key to our belief to our business is to provide a good service. Mm-hmm. And to keep the customers for as long as possible. And I think like any good business, if you can get that right, then you know you should have sustainable growth into the long term. And obviously you've got to continue to innovate as well to be able to provide that service.
That innovation was going to be my next point. Your contract, the R&D, the expenses, you always are spending on R&D. It sits at about 5%, but it is a constant moving forward and finding new ways and new products to delight customers.
Well, the reality is you've got to continue to invest and build those things. And we've been building our R&D team now for 20 years, and it's getting bigger. We are quite fortunate during this quarter, a lot of our R&D gets done outside of South Africa, and with the stronger range, you know, we actually got more value for our money in this quarter.
Karoo Logistics, I mean, fairly small in your life. Revenue was up 38%, but it was just at 139 million. But he has a space where you are investing, you are scaling Karoo. We see the logistics part, we see the jump there. It's small, but you're still confident it's got significant potential ahead in terms of revenue and profits down the line.
Well, I think the fundamental part of Karoo Logistics, it really helps our large enterprise customers scale their last mile deliveries. And as we deliver that, as we innovate and build out that platform, we'll bring more and more value to our customers. So it really is just an extension of our existing business and creating value for our customers. So the only reason we report it separately is because of financial metrics being so different to our SaaS business. You know, delivery as a service business has a very different financial profile, and that's why we split it out. But ultimately, it's the same customer.
Okay, I hadn't thought of that. Of course, so the cross-sell opportunity there is extremely strong. You've got an existing customer now. You've got an extra product that you can offer them for their to as you say, manage that last mile of the process.
Yes, and that's what it's all about. You just assisting our existing customers.
Net cash equivalents, you're sitting at just under 400 million. A strong looking balance sheet. That's not unsurprising for Karoo. It has been for some time, but the balance sheet is strong and growing. It is still a very cash generative business, notwithstanding costs such as R&D, extra staffing. Cash is strong.
Yes, so we've got a very clean balance sheet. You know, it's easy for us to get facilities with the banks should we need cash for growth. And we're sitting now with 400 million rand, but that's after paying a $38 million dividend. You know, we pay our dividends out in US dollars. So after paying the dividend, we're still sitting at 400 million, and we typically grow that month on month.
We'll leave it there. Zach Callisto, CEO of Karoo. Appreciate the early morning. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio sub-managed by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Dwayne Cable, head of South African Quality at 91. Dwayne, appreciate the time. A piece that I was actually on holiday when it came out, hence we are a little behind the curve, but the safe portfolio that just got risky. Cautious South African investors, sort of last year, even back into 2023, there was a moment there where you could almost kind of get equity returns in bond markets and cash and near cash products, which was great. And South Africans fled into it, but things are shifting and that is kind of fading away.
No, absolutely. I think investment markets are always about looking through the sort of front view rather than the rear view mirror. And if you look at the outlook for interest rates, in our view, whether it's local interest rates or global interest rates, it's on a path to going lower. And so that safety net that conservative investors had of being able to hide in cash and bonds without taking too much equity risk in your portfolio, we think those days are coming to an end.
It's a good point. And I mean, I appreciate it. I mean, you know, the yields are down, inflation is down, but the real returns are fading away. And this leaves a dilemma because, I mean, you're either accepting lower returns, which is not what the conservative investors are looking for, or you've got to sort of up your credit risk, exchange duration. It's a rock and a hard place in many senses.
No, absolutely. I mean, we think investors are walking a tightrope at the moment because ultimately, we think to be able to deliver those real returns, you're going to need to take some equity risk in your portfolio. And a point you mentioned earlier where obviously, yes, CPI is lower, but I don't know about yourself, but I know for myself, I mean, sort of my own inflation doesn't represent what's happening in the CPI basket. And so as an investor, I still need returns closer to be high single digit, low double digits. And that's just not going to be the case in cash, sitting in cash anymore. And ultimately, we think you need some equity. But the dilemma, the great dilemma is that if you look at both the local market as well as the global markets have been on a tear. I mean, probably at the tail end of a really strong bull market. And so how investors navigate that uncertainty in markets, in equity markets, to generate those returns are going to be key. And I mean, maybe the point that I would like to raise in terms of how we construct the portfolio with an absolute return mindset, we can still find very exciting equity ideas with good upside that is defensive and that looks very different to the market. Because the one thing we're learning both locally and globally is that really the market is only being driven by very narrow sectors on a global scale, being all AI. And in the local market, it's really the golds and the plats that is doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah, and gold and plats have done brilliant, but of course, they are absolutely cyclical. The conversation one day will change. I don't know when, but I do know it will change. And I take your point. My personal inflation is never like what Stats SA does. I mean, that's just the reality of it. You say that there is certainly quality. And I mean, I look at our local market, and let's remove the sort of the miners, the gold stocks, the platinum stocks. There is quality there. There is some good prices there. The challenge is that surely we need some GDP growth to start coming through to really unlock that opportunity.
I mean that is true. I mean, one does need the South African economic growth to sort of start to accelerate. I think the positive message I've got for investors that on our numbers, given the fact that some of those higher quality SA Inc. names have lagged so much, on our bottom-up forecast, we don't have to plug in very aggressive economic growth forecasts. And if you look at some of the multiples, I'll just mention a few names like First Rand, like Santam, like ShopRite, where we think the valuations are quite appealing. And on our numbers, they're really gaining market share and it's stealing from the competitors rather than relying on strong economic growth. So definitely a stock picker's market, where a lot of those, what I would refer to as the higher quality South African Inc. names, have been sold indiscriminately to fund what has been the FOMO trade, being golds and plats, with gold almost going vertical at this stage.
Actually, that's a great point. I hadn't thought of that. There has been some sell-off. And in some of the cases, in decent dividend yields. I mean, Santam, I think, is around 4%. First Rand, probably higher than that. There is some dividend. So you get the equity, but you also get that dividend, which ultimately is a little bit of cash flow as well.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's why we're saying in the context of a safe portfolio, having these higher quality companies where they're paying you a dividend, a high degree of conviction around the growth rates, with a narrow funnel of uncertainty, good management teams with conservative balance sheets, we think that ultimately that gives a more conservative investor a more dependable return outcome without having to play in the very risky parts of the market.
And the same applies for the US, to your point. I mean, the Mag 7, the AI, it's been a phenomenal trade. It is elevated levels. In those markets globally, there's going to be real good quality at some good prices. To your point, stock pickers, you got to go find them.
No, exactly. And I mean, we've got like a long list of high quality global equities that we get quite excited about. I mean, the likes of a Tencent, a Visa, ASML, Alphabet, Bookings, where the valuations are still reasonable and we get quite excited about the growth. I mean, if we think of some of our global equities, we're fairly confident that over 5 to 10 year view, they can still grow their earnings between 10 to 12% in dollars off this base. And given the fact that they're starting on reasonable valuations, we think that's quite an attractive return outlook.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of them are sort of allied AI, so you're not completely missing out. But we'll leave it there. Swain Cable, head of South Africa Quality at 91. Appreciate the time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. There were those equity returns in low risk bonds last year. Those have faded. Are you struggling to get returns from a more conservative portfolio? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. We're chatting with Pierre Cleraden-Hess yesterday. He from Herenia Capital Advisors. We're talking around the crypto traders who blew up on the Friday sell-off. Bitcoin was down 10%. Some of the other cryptos down a whole lot more. But that 10% move by reports on social medias blew up a number of portfolios. And that is the lesson. Trading is great. Derivatives are great. But you've got to be careful with them. We asked if you trade derivatives. Over half said no. Equities only. A quarter said yes, but cautiously. The rest said yes, but struggling. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow. Standard Bank's inaugural informal economy report.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.